Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we're in Studio AOC. We're going to have so much fun today talking about a great platform called the Associated General Contractors. And credit where credit's due, I met Michael Gifford. We were sitting next to each other at a board of people that were running different modular factories around Colorado. And shout out to AC Rep, the Adams County Regional Economic Partnership. It's a mouthful, where we were there and we got invited to be part of this conversation on how to move modular forward. And at that, we were talking through our different platforms, and that really was the kindling to the kindling. And so here we are, and the main message that I want to convey to you today, Tribe, is that the Associate General Contractors can truly help you grow your business, especially niching in. They do a lot of great stuff around the commercial segment. How's this going to benefit you is that this is Colorado's leading professional association for the state's commercial building industry, providing members a competitive edge through excellence in advocacy, collaboration, leadership, networking, workforce development, and services. And as next week, we're heading off to the International Builders Show. This is definitely one of those platforms where there's a bunch of lifelong learners coming together and putting this out there in this global and timeless conversation. My perspective is groups like AGC help drive construction forward. And passionately, why I started the Art of Construction is to take different people and connect them, because we all need a community, but coming together in this bigger platform to build better buildings. And I'm glad to see that AGC's commitment to all the forward-thinking trends in construction and being true advocates for the art of construction. And to have that conversation, I'm honored to have Michael Gifford, who is the president of the Associated General Contractors, or AGC Colorado. So I've said it a few times, it's a mouthful of all these different groups, and it's such an honor to welcome Michael here, who is the president again of the Associated General Contractors, and then we're going to say AGC going forward, and AGCC is the Colorado chapter of that. So hopefully I didn't butcher that too much, Michael. Welcome to the studio. Let's get started and learn a little bit about you and have as much fun as possible, starting with, what is your favorite beverage?
Well, thanks, Devin, for having me. And if you want to get my attention, you're going to have a good cup of espresso.
All right.
Pretty simple, but straightforward. Wish we had one right here. Well, I kind of do. So here we go.
There you go. Awesome. And tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, internationally, I recently went to San Sebastian, Spain, or Donostia in the Basque language. And also my wife and I went to New Zealand for our honeymoon. That was awesome. So I recommend both of those places highly. But truth be told, I'm a big fan of the American West. So if you're talking Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Idaho, Utah, New Mexico, you've got my attention.
Man, you are speaking my language. My wife and I did our honeymoon in the New Zealand South Island for 2 weeks and did the whole loop, and it's just a magical time, but also the spirit of the West, which on we have an event center down in Westcliff that we go down and have as much fun as possible, and really our core values are to maintain that spirit of the West, which is one thing I love about Colorado, but some places of Colorado have changed as far as the West, so I totally agree with you that we definitely align there. What is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction?
Fly fishing. So The American West, all those states that I named, there's a unending amount of opportunities there, and I look forward to doing more of that, including right here in Colorado. So
awesome. All right. So what is your story that led you to being the president and CEO of AGC Colorado?
Well, there's kind of two parts to the story. The first is, as a younger person, I remember watching Ronald Reagan and how he took complex topics and explained them in such a understandable way that was inviting for people to listen and understand. In fact, he was called the great communicator. And so I kind of looked at that when I was young, and then that kind of kind of fermented for a while, if you will. I worked for a redevelopment agency for a city, rebuilding five areas of the city, working with developers and contractors, and then finally moved to Boise, Idaho, and was able to work on the redevelopment of downtown Boise and meet the contractors there, and then was invited to become the executive director of the Idaho AGC. So that's another chapter of AGC America in Idaho.
Got it.
And then was recruited to come here to Colorado 15 years ago to be the CEO, president CEO for the AGC chapter here.
Outstanding. Well, let's talk a little bit more. Tell the tribe what AGC is all about in general.
So, you know, AGC, I sometimes describe it as a chamber of commerce for commercial construction firms. So we're focusing on all types of commercial buildings and multifamily, not single family residences. We have another chapter here in the state that focuses on infrastructure, roads and bridges called the Colorado Contractors Association. So AGC in Colorado focuses on commercial building, general contractors, specialty contractors and suppliers. And what we do is first help those contractors speak with one voice to the government, whether it's elected officials or it's government agencies, which is really where the rubber meets the road many times at the federal, state, and local level. We also do networking. You know, there are many contractors and construction firms on a construction site. They want to meet more contractors and learn how they can partner together to build projects. They can do that easily through AGC. Workforce development is the issue of our time. And mm-hmm. so we do everything from apprenticeship to high school programs to education and training for the office side of the staff. And then finally, we're now digging in on what we call culture of care, which is well-being and mental health, and diversity and inclusion, because that attaches to workforce. It's all one ecosystem. If you're not having an inclusive workplace and a safe workplace, you're not going to have all the employees that you're going to need as the next generation comes up.
Well said. And so you talked about you were in Idaho, Colorado, where you kind of got a niche into the local issues of different regions, if you will. And also, I love your explanation of kind of like the Chamber of Commerce for commercial construction, because we have to understand of like, okay, how does this fit into a relatable topic? But then all markets are local, right? But so you can you talk a little bit more about what AGC Colorado specifically, some things you're maybe kind of known for pushing the envelope from this chapter?
Sure. I'll kind of talk about that in a couple ways that you can relate to. Number one, networking is so important. And what we do is create a series of events where you are guaranteed to, if you're a specialty contractor, meet the general contractor that you want to meet. We've got 110 general contractors in our group. General contractor needs more trade partners on their team. So the reverse of that, we've got 300 of the top trade partners. We do that through an event called Breakfast with the Board, and you know exactly who's sitting where, so you can match up in a speed dating format and meet people you haven't met yet. I mean, Colorado's a small place, but not everyone knows everyone. So they say, hey, I'd like to know this construction company over here. Come to breakfast, learn something, and meet that person, and then follow up. We've also got 15 different working committees that are meeting every month. That's another great way to roll up your sleeves and work on a common issue with those people that you want to meet, and also then say, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee and talk about how we might work together. So that's the networking piece. In terms of workforce, the baby boomers, the silver tsunami, are retiring. You are moving people up. They need training. They need leadership training. They need estimating. They need building information modeling. They need lean construction. They need carpentry apprenticeship, you know, electrical, plumbing, pipe fitting, sheet metal, every one of those topics. You want to meet high school students that are interested in construction. You can't just walk on a high school and go grab a high school student. So how can I network to meet those rising stars? That's all in our workforce program, and you can do that effectively through AGC in Colorado, 48 high school programs we have going right now. So that's workforce. if you want to get started in improving your diversity and inclusion or your well-being and mental health programs, you don't know where to start, we've got a suite of programs that are curated and tested by our members. And you could get involved in that program or those services. So those are the kind of things that you can do for AGC. And then finally, there are a number of pain points that you have with the government. You can be informed by us what we're doing and also give input into that process. That's what we call advocacy, government relations, and lobbying. That's really our biggest thing that we do, but it's kind of the hardest to touch and feel with your hands. But if you're having trouble getting a permit or you're wanting to know what's going to happen next for greenhouse gas emission reductions and electrification, or what's going to happen with employment law next year you have to prepare for, read our advocacy report every Friday and you'll be up to speed. You don't need to go down to the state capitol or city hall to figure that out. You can do that through us.
Gold. In fact, sitting yesterday at this exact time, we did a podcast with a local engineer that was talking all about electrification and ground source heat pumps and how to move all that stuff forward. But it can be very taxing to say, okay, what should I do to go figure out all this stuff? Because you don't have time to do all those things. So you have to have platforms that can help you make sure you're staying ahead of the curve.
Exactly.
Can you tell us more about the training and education that you do offer? Kind of dive in a little further.
Yes. So on the kind of the office side of the house, we start with leadership training. You've got new hires that you make a PE, they move up to PM, and they're starting to have to interact directly with the owner, the client, the customer at the specialty contractor level, need to also work with the owner. But with the general contractor. So we've got our Future Leaders Forum, and that's a two-year program where they start to learn some finishing school, if you will, not just the construction technical side, but the people skills to move projects and companies forward. After a little while longer, then they can get in our Executive Leadership Academy, and that's where senior PMs and superintendents can start to prepare to be the next generation of leadership for a company. We've got every type of estimating class that you can imagine, from blueprint reading all the way up through conceptual estimating. We've got building information modeling, lean, project management, superintendent boot camp. That's all kind of the office side of the house. In the field, we've got a four-year apprenticeship in six different crafts: carpentry, masonry, electrical, plumbing, pipe fitting, and sheet metal. We've got a new two-year rough carpentry apprenticeship for residential and commercial. We've got a sustainability for high school students, a new class that's going along with those electrification requirements. So those are all the kinds of education and training. And then we do hot topics by over a virtual format like Zoom, whatever's coming up. In fact, we have a series that's just starting on Energize Denver and those electrification requirements. What are they? How do you meet them? When are they coming? When are the deadlines? You don't have to think about going down to City Hall. We're going to bring that to you in a webinar series. So that's some of the kind of things that we're doing for education training. And then our national office offers another series that we promote as well. So lots of education opportunities.
It's amazing how this, you know, we just cast this net of like bringing in the different specialists. And it's just fascinating as I'm sitting here, like I raise my hand, Tribe, and say like the whole Energize Colorado, like I didn't quite get it. And I got a better light yesterday recording that. And Scott and the team will be they put all these podcasts together, because how do you eat the elephant? One bite at a time, right? And it's, but you better be timely in where you're taking the bites, and that's what you're talking about here, right?
Well, and that goes into your recruitment. Maybe I need somebody that's really interested in that area that wants to dig in and prepare
100%.
The manufacturing side, the installation side, the building permit side, the energy code side, and all of that. So you're starting to steer your business
and run to the problems, right? Like, and is it really a problem? This all the news about gas, you just can't use gas, and like how the trade offs, and that was the big, that was kind of the disruption topic we talked about yesterday, of understanding how we're going to be able to manage all this electrification and where all the power is going to come from. But all
and
fascinating
I don't make
stuff.
One comment in that. There's other ways to reduce emissions besides electrification, building skin, design. So there's room
today's
for
podcast,
everyone.
The building envelope specialist with Janice, the whole thing is talking about, you know, the most green thing we can do is figure out how to make the buildings we have better. And building envelope specialist is a key part of that, which is a key part of the whole AGC, because it all has to come together of how these connected kid parts work, right? And that's kind of where you and I had met, or our origin story was that very thing of figuring out how what we call system build or modular factories, and understanding how do you connect the field to the office, right? You had mentioned at the beginning culture of care. And the word culture is huge for me, and it's not just something that you check the box and read off of your core values and culture statement. You got to live it. And I love when you say the word care, because that's really what it's. Can you tell us more about your culture of care and how long you've been doing this and why it's important to you?
Yes. So we started in 2018 as AGC of Colorado, looking at diversity and inclusion as a topic, and said we really need to dig in and learn more about that. And then in 2020, a few of the AGC chapters around the country got together, and this culture of care idea was launched, and very timely as world events took place soon after that. And what we saw it as an umbrella, but I want to back up just one moment and say that there is a very strong business case that underlies this effort. And that is, we are going to have a long-term challenge finding enough employees to build all the projects that fortunately the Colorado market wants us to build, residential, infrastructure, and commercial. And to do that, to get the employment base that we need, we're going to have to do things differently than we do today. We're going to be more inclusive in our hiring, and we're going to have a better workplace culture, a safer workplace. And today's generation is looking to the employer even more than the family unit to provide some of those things. So that's the business case. And then the actual area underneath that is diversity and inclusion. How can we help construction companies go on that journey on their own, but with the help of AGC, and then also well-being and mental health? And glad to talk about some of the details of what's in there, but that's what's in the culture of care, is helping companies with their diversity and inclusion effort and their well-being and mental health effort, with specific actions that they can take.
Super important stuff. And that's where I'd love to have you come in with the master facilitators and dive deeper into that culture of care, because that's really one of those you don't just throw out there on the Kindling podcast and you get it. I work every day to still be better of caring and understanding who I am and how to better work with others. And that was where we just had Jason Blanker come in and talk about, you better know who you are and how to work with others, and tools to be able to do that, to understand your psychology, to look yourself in the mirror and others and say, it may be a different look for you and others as we move this thing forward, is really what I'm hearing of this whole thing, of how it connects to where what we believe in here on the Art of Construction.
Yeah, and if you just think of one simple thing, you have an employee that's high producing, but they have some things that are taking place in other parts of their life. And one path is you kind of just watch them crumble, and then they're no longer an employee. Or the other one is you offer them the lifeline at the moment they need it, and they're able to turn things around and they finish out their career with you. Those are the two choices that you have. Do you want to be able to help them, or kind of stay on the sidelines and just let things happen as they might?
Good on you. And that's facing the reality, right? Are you going to do something about it to grow your business, or are you going to do nothing at all and let it die? Because either you're if you're coasting, you're going downhill, right? So, so I want to switch gears from kind of the culture of your kind of internal team, and I think that was a big part of like working on growing your business in a great. When you do advocacy with governments, what is your experience like, and what do you think of the construction industry around that?
So this is where kind of the Ronald Reagan reference comes back in, is that we are in construction, we're builders, and so we know how complicated our process is. It's a minor miracle that any building goes up when you're really on the inside and you see everything that's involved.
Well said.
And so turn around now, I'm the interpreter that gets to describe that complicated process in a very simple and understandable way to a governor, to a mayor, to a member of the House or the Senate, or to the director of the Department of Labor and Employment, or the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, which we talked to a lot during the pandemic. Again, to a mayor of a city or a city council member that's trying to do something and say, well, this is going to be the result. You're not going to get what you want, and here's why. One of the things that we're known for and the reason that we're so effective is that instead of just opposing something or kind of throwing rocks from outside the moat, we go inside and develop long-term relationships with these elected officials, with these state and local department and government agencies, owners many times that are hiring us to build projects, and have those relationships so we can sit down and say, listen, here's what's going to happen if you want to do this. Electrification is a good one. We were able to get some major alterations to their direction to make it actually work for construction, employment law, funding of construction, workforce programs in the high school. We've had some great success. We have a bill this year before the legislature that we hope goes through, Senate Bill 23-065, that career development incentive program. That's another complicated issue, but we've boiled it down to a simple explanation. And that that's what it is like, and we get a very positive response from elected officials and from government agency officials because we do it with respect, and we're there when they need us. They don't have enough staff to do all the research they do, so in many cases, we become an extension of their staff to provide them research and information on what they're trying to achieve. Do we like everything they're trying to do? No. Many times we're in a defensive nature, but we're able to shape some of that to work better for our industry.
Love that. So much gold to digest and think about. So what is your general outlook on the direction of the construction industry?
So my outlook is very optimistic. Now I'll give you a warning. I'm an optimistic person, so I'm likely to start with that until I'm forced to go negative.
Good on you. That's most of us master facilitators, and you kind of got to be that way. Construction is messy if you go the doom and gloom.
That's right. But the way I look at this is that we have some very strong long-term forces pushing us to have to build more in Colorado. First of all, more people are moving in than are moving out. Now, there's some challenges with that growth, so you have to manage that. But that speaks to long-term need for housing and then the commercial that follows that. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is we have a lot of funding coming in on the infrastructure side, finally, for a lot of deferred maintenance. So when you defer maintenance on your house, when you defer maintenance on a state road system, when the funding comes, the need is there. So we're going to be building a lot of infrastructure over the next 20 years with the funding that we have now. And I'm talking roads, water, sewer, dams, internet systems, all of broadband, all of that. Schools, what have you. Then we are behind on our housing. The latest study from the Common Sense Institute says we're 220,000 houses short of where we should be. So if you just take the population and divide by 2.4 per household, we're behind by a lot. So we've got to catch up on housing. We've got deferred maintenance on infrastructure and the funding to fix it, and then commercial is going to follow the housing, and net in-migration is continuing. Those are all positive, large forces, what I'll call tailwinds. Headwinds are short-term, interest rates, inflation in construction material, and the brakes being put on some financing on the commercial side. Banks are being told to slow down on their exposure to commercial real estate. So those are pretty short term. Those two forces are probably equal in the short term. So we're not going to see growth in the market, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of tailing off. Mm. And then once some of those headwinds ease, we'll be back in a building phase. So that's my outlook.
In a great way of looking of the dichotomy of it's never as bad as you think it's going to be, it's never as good as you think it's going to be, it's always somewhere in the middle, and you have to understand those variables of how that comes together, because we don't want to talk about unicorns and snowflakes and just BIM modeling that is just chasing our tail. We want to talk about stuff that's actually being built with a T, like physically done, right? And that's the part where you have to blend all this stuff together. So how do people learn more about AGC and get involved in this great platform?
Well, you know, what I would say is try it before you buy. Contact us. Go to our website, agccolorado.org. All of our staff pictures are there. Email me personally. Call me. You know, say, hey, I'd like to check this out. We'll invite you to one of our breakfasts. Check it out, see what we're doing, see if it's a good fit for you, come to a committee meeting, and then you join us by just investing as a member, just like you would with the Chamber of Commerce, and coming to the events, rolling up your sleeves, send your staff to some of the training. If you want to send someone to one of the training first, try it that way. So just try it out, contact us, and we'll invite you. We're a pretty open group. And then you can take advantage of all the education and training, all the committees, all the events. We do a lot of fun stuff, by the way, too, from golf to hockey to fly fishing to our Rockies opening day is the most rockin' party of the year. In early April, we do it on opening day, and last year we had more than 600 people at Mobcraft Brewing enjoying a beer and meeting each other. So come try us out.
Outstanding. So as we close this thing out, we'll make sure we'll put links to the show notes for both Colorado and nationally to understand this global podcast. But yet, as you and I sitting here in Colorado, that's our day-to-day, and the people that you and I go to the Rockies opening day and be part of leading this great state, but then filtering it up to the rest of the industry. And I think that's important that it's you guys have this national footprint, but you have the local teams working in those local chapters, because it takes more than just one person to make meaningful change. You have to be a community and working together. Closing out on the questions we always ask, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction, and what AGC is doing about that?
So I like to start with macro trends, because that's an area that I can kind of understand what direction things are going. So here's the reality. Colorado sits today at 185,000 construction employees, all in, building the amount that we're building, housing, residential, infrastructure, and commercial. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment tells us we should be at 220,000 employees. That's how many we would hire if we could find that many people to build the amount of construction that we're building. But we can't find 220,000. And so necessity is the mother of invention. And so there is a macro force that, and by the way, how are we building 220,000, full-time workers worth of construction with 185,000? Too much overtime. That's not the safest way. It's not the most efficient and productive way to do it. In fact, when you go to many crews and talk to them, they're like, I'd like to work a little bit less. I'm tired. I need that goes back to that mental health and well-being and that balance that we need. So that's a necessity's mother of invention. Technology is out there. What I really see happening is that the next generation is starting to be hired into construction companies. And we have people from 18 to 25 year old that are wizards, and their mindset is open to, well, maybe that's the way your grandfather and your father did it, but have we thought about this? So I think we're on the cusp of adopting technologies from other disciplines, other industries, and a talented group of new employees. We've got 48 high school construction programs around the state. In April, we'll have a hiring fair in Denver with about 200 seniors that are graduating. You should be at that hiring fair meeting those students, because they want to go into construction. And so that's my outlook. And AGC nationally has a very strong technology working group. If you join our chapter, you get involved with people around the country that are rolling up their sleeves, and maybe competitors in a way, but rolling up their sleeves, looking at technology and talking about best practices, about how that's being incorporated into their businesses. And we've got some awesome technology companies that are right here in Colorado, some of them centered in the kind of the Boulder area that many of our companies are working with, but dig in with them and learn more about what's possible. And then we just went to the modular presentation by AC Rep, and I really think in the housing area, that's going to be our answer. How do we produce things in a different way, a more efficient way, and a more affordable way? And the government, by the way, is passing laws this year that are going to give seed money to modular manufacturing for housing to try to accelerate that as well. So I think it's a great time to be looking at that space.
Well said. And Michael, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. The last question we always ask, with your breadth of being involved with builders and affiliates, what is that one thing you want to leave them to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
I think it's really the people factor. How do I change how I think about recruiting and retaining top talent, and making a company the preferred place to be, the preferred place to work? Because that's going to be the differentiating factor, is getting that top talent, retaining it, and then unleashing those people to reimagine how you are as a builder, how you can accomplish what the owners want. And I'm seeing companies do that now, and they're crushing it. So that's what I'd say, is not doing things the old way, but reimagining what the workplace is, what it feels like to work at your company. Is your company one where people are saying, I want to work there? That's cool. And if you're willing to do that, that's going to be the secret to growing the business in the future. Who can attract and retain the top talent?
Absolute gold. Michael, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Devin.
Beginning with the end in mind, one of my mentors, same as him, we tick from the same place, the great Ronald Reagan, the great communicator, and understanding how we can communicate complicated topics. That's really hit me right off the beginning. And then understanding, as people like Alice Luang from Brick and Mortar Ventures, shout out to her, of coming in and really understanding, like, how do you communicate who you are and how you fit into a general communication structure? And he's done a great job with that, of they are the Chamber of Commerce for commercial building. Like, great way to put that together. But then we have to understand how what we're doing here as the Art of Construction Tribe to put this stuff together. You know, we talked about subs meeting general contractors in a dating. We talk about them as the warriors, and we celebrate the proud people out in the field working hard every day, to the general contractors or the builders or what we call the master facilitators putting this stuff together. And at the end of the day, you do have to niche in and understand these different communities and understand how you can put these common issues into practice. And that's why I was so excited to have this conversation, because we're coming from different angles, all trying to figure out the same problem that we call system built, or he talked about at the end of modular and moving this thing forward with great companies like it. That was you know, Indie Dwell and other Colorado factories that are doing great things, and new ones coming and putting seed money for new ones to be pushing. Like this week I was down with my friends at Fading West, who's just doing great things down in BV, and figuring out how to train for prime time. I'm so passionate about their whole future leaders, and I would call it the future leaders training now. Like, if we don't start training now, you're not going to have more future leaders. And then if we don't start training, we're not going to have future leaders. And then those future leaders are not going to be executive leadership, right? So what I like about how they've done it, they've mapped out all these steps, because construction's too messy to just throw one sentence out there and be done. Because when I say connecting the field to the office, that's a whole big thing, right, that we work on every day. And they put new programs, like the new Rough Carpenters new program. That just, I say hallelujah to that, because we deal with so many rough openings every day that just make the parallelogram work with this big square perfect system. And at the end of the day, it all has to come together. And then other things like matching the electrification, but having like a Zoom meeting where you can jump into it and you can understand how to energize Denver instead of being confused by Denver. And so then you have to take times, because some of the days are long and the years are short. He talked about at 2018, they had a meetup where they talked about understanding diversity and inclusion. And then they launched a program in 2020 called the Culture of Care. Tribe construction moves slow. And you have to understand how you have to have advocates like AGC, who is ahead of that curve, and they've been educating a better workforce for a long time, where you're now just starting to hear a lot about this stuff in the news. And so from the inside, many days can seem like a miracle to move forward. And that comedy said is so true, right? If you live construction, a lot of times you're like, how is this building ever going to, how is it? And then you get done and it's just so rewarding and gratifying, right? And how do you articulate that to the government, where they just walk into the job site and depending on what day they walk into on that moment in time, it can be an utter disaster or it can be an utter success. And they're used to seeing the shovel with this picture of, they don't even know how to hold the shovel. And then you turn around and understand, then they go walk through when it's all done. But the gooey middle is a lot, right? And you have to figure out, and they talked about, as I've been in a lot of meetings in Colorado lately, and it's been really cool to see how much passion has been going into modular in Colorado. So I've sat in a lot of meetings and about the seed money and being involved in these different factories. And the part that he talked about how they are like an extension of their staff. Because when you put yourself in their shoes, they don't have near enough resources to do all this stuff, just like most project managers don't have enough resources to do all this stuff. So how do you get help? And they look at it as just in time when they need to be that extension of the staff. And I totally agree with that, that if you're not at the right place in the right time, when the money, when everything comes together, because it takes so much longer than you think for this stuff to cycle through and figure that out, when it comes to real world talks about electrification and challenging the status quo, because you have to shape that that actually works for the industry. And it's not a one person is better or one person knows more. It's just understanding the variances, because it's complicated, right? And then figuring out how you can incentivize these different career development is a part that I really want to close this thing out on. And I want to recap these numbers that he put out to us. If you niche into Colorado and you just think about Colorado as an example here, 185,000 current employees in construction. And from the research they've done, shows we should have 220,000. Well, that number tells you that you better do something about it. And as he talked about, necessity is the mother of invention. That number is going to create technology and things that I asked the question to work smarter, not harder, because we're screwed if we just keep doing it the same way. And so we have to, he talked about the new workforce. And we've done a lot of podcasts where we talk about how where my age of spending 25 years in this industry as a digital immigrant, I kind of know enough to be dangerous. And now I'm kind of one of those leaders managing crusty contractor who maybe doesn't really want to be here anymore. And these digital natives that just come in with their phone and tell you this is how this thing's going to be built. And the gooey middle is a reality. It's all of us figuring this out, right? And at the end of the day, he talked about the people factor. And that's where I like such honor to leave this master, lead the master facilitators group, because I'm super excited to have all of us come together and reimagine the workplace in a group, within a group, within another group, and all coming together, whether it's we're meeting up to give a handshake at opening day at Coors Field or on a job site with the biggest problem of understanding seal failure and putting that all together to build better buildings. So we're huge fans of what they're doing. Tried and true principles. They've been at this for a long time. If you're involved in commercial construction, you're crazy not to be involved with AGC. Crush it out there, tribe.